Hi. I'm Marnie Schulenberg. I don't know if Dick went over this. Some of you are new this year. He comes, our esteemed leader, to our memoir sessions with prompts. And he'll give us three ideas, and we pick one of them, and we write about that. And the prompt for this one was something like, think back to what you were doing and what you remember when something big happened. So that's the one I chose that day. And this is from, I was in Appleton, Wisconsin at the time as a kid. It's called Sweet 16. We were 16 years old, a chattering group of girlfriends in a hurry, pooling our money at a dive on College Avenue called the Pizza Palace, and in danger of missing our first afternoon class. The pizza came late and hot. That first greedy bite scalded the roof of my mouth. I forget who was driving. It's more sensations that come back to me. The car's front tire bumping up the curb at school. The fifth period bell just dying out, and my tongue probing a tender triangle of burned skin behind my front teeth. Thinking back this half century later, it's as if there exists, just as Madeline L'Engle imagined, a wrinkle in time. Because two wildly different scenes collide in my memory and have lodged there, smack up against each other. The first, earlier scene is all lit up by love and a song, one particular song. The second, by a seismic-sized shock following the tiny tremor of that burn injury. Even today, I can't listen to the bittersweet lyrics of that song without the roof of my mouth tingling. The song is Neil Sedaka's Happy Birthday, Sweet 16. It's September 23rd, 1963, and I'm turning 16 that very day. My mother and I are alone in the kitchen. We're planning my birthday dinner, anything I want. We've settled on pizza, cherry pop, Schaumtorts, when the song insinuates itself into our conversation. Music is often playing in our house, either the radio or the record player, or more often, my mother moving through her tasks while singing, her lovely contralto voice, the melodic embroidery at the edges of our childhood. Now it's Neil Sedaka, and he seems to be serenading this girl in this kitchen exclusively. I stretch for the brown plastic Motorola on the counter by the clothes chute and turn the volume knob higher. If I should smile with sweet surprise, it's just that you've grown up before my very eyes. Who remembers that? Yeah. That song gets me right through the heart. It isn't the first time I've heard the song. It's been a hit for some time. I hadn't been 16 before. I hadn't really felt the metamorphosis from rough little tomboy to serious girlfriend material. So it's that, certainly, that has me feeling so peculiar, yet it's not the full answer. There's my mother at the table in the breakfast nook. I'm leaning against the sink. She's watching me. She's reading me, and on her own face is a look of sweet surprise. It's my first experience of nostalgia, this song. My first conscious understanding that I'm launching into a life that I will one day look back on and cherish, as I will memories of Mom and moments like this. She's reading me perfectly. We smile at each other, we're almost shy. This makes me, I tell her, so sad, she nods. It makes me, you know? She nods again. It's a mature intuition I've stumbled upon and tried to share with her, burdened by none of my usual snotty superiority. I almost cry. I almost tell her how much I love her. Far better than I, this woman knows all about bittersweet nostalgia. She carries her own bulging portfolio of love and loss. Her own mother, my blue-haired nanny, died in May of that very year, 1963. It's there in the kitchen that morning, and imprinted in me still, my mother's half smile and its quiet message. Life is rich, life is precious. It will tear past you in a speeding blur if you don't grab hold, and even if you do. 2 months to the day after Neil Sedaka's serenade, my friends and I are late ordering that pizza and late getting back to school. We pile out of the car and tear up the sidewalk, and then slow to a walk. Something's wrong. Clusters of students stand around in the cold, no coats on most of them. One of the girls from my biology class, where I should be that moment, is sobbing, her face buried in her hands. My ex-boyfriend, Ward, suddenly blocks my path. He's cut me off from my friends and stands there in a challenging pose, glaring at me. "Don't laugh," is how he starts. The burned skin in my mouth is swelling up. I can feel the heat of it against the tip of my tongue. "About what?" I ask him. I try for belligerent myself, but my stomach is jumping. We're the same height, Ward and I, but he seems to loom. "What?" I repeat. "What's so not funny?" The corner of his mouth jerks the littlest bit. "Kennedy's been shot," he says. "He's been shot in the head." I keep working that flap of burned skin. I stare into his brown eyes, inches from mine, and I do not laugh, though some of us did in our nervousness as Kennedy's death was eventually announced over our PA system. All these years later, thinking back to that bleak November day and our dead president, I have the other gift close to hand, a safe cocoon of a kitchen and my now dead mother. I don't know if she actually spoke the words aloud, "Life is rich, life is precious," just that it doesn't matter. She stood in my path on my 16th birthday and with that lovely smile of sweet surprise delivered all the message I would need to get me through.